today is, can I learn the secret from the people in the Torah? Can I learn it specifically from Moshe Rabbeinu in his marriage to Tzipporah? In order to figure this out, I want to go through very quickly, in the 40 minutes that I've been given, all the stories of Moshe and Tzipporah, where we're going to clearly see three very different possibilities. One, they have a great marriage from the beginning to the end. Two, they have a terrible marriage from the beginning to the end. And three, a combination. It starts out pretty good, but then there are some issues. I'd like to start from the very, very beginning, when Moshe and Tzipporah meet. You see, we all know the story. They meet at a well. It's possibly love at first sight. They end up getting married. What a beautiful story. Why do I think love at first sight? Because the story is so similar to another story that we know, and that is the story of Yaakov and Rachel. If you follow along with me on my source sheet, there are so many similarities between the story of Moshe meeting Tzipporah and the story of Yaakov meeting Rachel. In source number one, we have the beginning of the story. A boy is running away because somebody is trying to kill him. He ends up waiting at a well. Source two, a girl is coming to the well because she shepherds her father's sheep, and she is coming to gather water so she can bring back water and she can give water to her sheep. Source three, boy sees girl, does a heroic act in order to impress her. If you look at the story of Yaakov, he lifts this crazy stone that is covering the well that normally takes numerous people to lift. He lifts it off single-handedly, getting her attention. Moshe sees the shepherds are annoying Tzipporah and her sisters and chases them away. Source four, the girl now runs home, talks to her father and tells him about the boy that she left at the well. Source number five, the father says, what are you doing? A shidduch, what's wrong with you? And he causes the boy to come back to the home. Laban physically goes out to get Yaakov. Yitro sends them back and says, what you leave him there for? Go back and get him. Source number six, now the boy moves into the home. He stays there for a long period of time. Vayoel Moshe l'shevet et ha'ish. He's living in the home. Yaakov's living in the home. They become part of the family. They're even given a job in the family business. Source number seven, they work the sheep, they become shepherds, and they work for their future father-in-laws till finally they marry the daughter. It's a beautiful story. At some point, I hate to say it this way, they want to escape their father-in-law. So what do? In number eight, they trick the father-in-law and they're able to escape. Yaakov literally just runs away. Moshe lies. I want to visit my family in Mitzrayim. No, you don't. You're leaving to save the Jewish people and you have no intention to come back. They both leave their father-in-law behind, possibly taking the girl with. So we can easily argue the stories are so similar. And we know source 9, Vayahav Yaakov et Rachel. It's a love story. Yaakov loves Rachel so much, he works 7 years for her, accidentally marries Leah, works another 7 years, where I bolded source 9, Vahayu be'enav ki'amim achadim b'avatoata. It was nothing to him, he loved her so much. Yaakov and Rachel is a love story. Well, Moshe and Tzipporah, so incredibly similar, one could argue, must be a love story too. The stories are so incredibly the same. But I want to argue a second perspective. Often when you see something in Torah that's very similar, you can learn from the similarities, but you also can learn a ton from the differences. You could say, where do these stories have differences that I can now see how these stories are actually two very different things? If you look at the story of Moshe and Tzipporah again, I want to argue it's not a love story, but rather it's a story of a business arrangement between a father and his future son-in-law. Why would I say that? Let's look at source 10, the story now together. Vayishma Paro es hadavar hazeh. We all know Moshe just killed a Mitzri. Paro finds out. Vayivakesh la'arogetz Moshe. Vayivrach Moshe b'mtei Paro. Moshe is running away from, if you think about it, his father to some extent, right? He is being raised by Bat Paro, the daughter of Paro. Here's his fatherly figure who wants to now murder him, and he is running away. What is he in search for? He could be in search for a wife, or he could be searching for a replacement to his fatherly figure, a new home to live, and a new father to take over the role of Paro. Next pasuk, Ula Kohen Midyan Sheva Benot. This is not a story about Moshe meeting Sipora at the well. Don't be confused. Moshe meets seven daughters of Yitro at a well. Sipora's name is not given to us until Psukim later. He meets seven daughters. They are all coming to get water for their father. Next pasuk, Yitzayin, Vayavo Haroim Vayirgeshum. They come, all the shepherds, to anoint all seven sisters. Vayakam Moshe Vayoshiam. Moshe saves all seven. Vayashket Sonam and feeds all of their sheep. This is not Moshe meeting the girl of his dreams. This is Moshe meeting seven daughters of a single man by the name of Yitro. Then what happens in Pasuk Yitchat? The girls go home. They say nothing to their father, but their father says to them, wait a minute, you're home early. How is that possible? Oh, we met a guy at the well and he kind of helped us. Comes Yitro and says, go back and get him. But if you look at their language in Pasuk Yotet, Vatomarna, they say, Ish Mitzri Hitzilani Miyad Haroim. It was an Egyptian man who saved us. What do we see from here? They never actually spoke to him. They never said, hi, what's your name? My name's Moshe. Who are you? Well, I'm a Jew who's running away from Mitzrayim because I killed a Mitzri. They don't speak to him. So here they come home. They don't tell Yitro about the man they met. They never even spoke to the man that they met. Yitro goes and sends them back to go bring Moshe home. Look at source number 11, the contrast to Rachel. Rachel and Yaakov have an interaction, a weird one, but they have one. Vayishak Yaakov l'Rachel. So weird. He starts to kiss her. Fine. Vayisad kolo vayevchan. He starts crying. And then vayageid Yaakov l'Rachel. He tells her the whole story, who he is, where he's coming from. He shares everything with her. She then vataratz vatageid l'avia. She runs home and she tells her father. These stories are so incredibly different. The story of Yaakov and Rachel are two people who meet up at a well, and there's a chemistry between them, and she's so excited to go home and tell her dad. The story of Moshe is the opposite. It's all about Yitro. Yitro asks them, why did you come home early? Yitro tells them, go back and get Moshe. Moshe then, look at Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayoel Moshe Lashevet Et Ha'ish. He goes to live with the man. It's nothing to do with Zipporah. He wants to live in this man's house. And we'll talk about why in a second. And then, as a result, Vayitain et Zipporah bito l'Moshe. Yitro chooses to let Moshe marry his daughter Zipporah. In contrast, source 11, the second pasuk, Yaakov, so in love with Rachel, says to Lavan, let me marry your daughter. These are different things. He wants to marry Rachel. Moshe doesn't ask to marry Zipporah. Moshe doesn't select Zipporah. Yitro selects Zipporah to be the one to marry Moshe, to allow Moshe to become a permanent member of his home. So what you see here possibly is a very different story. It's a business arrangement between Yitro and Moshe. Yitro sees this man who has so much potential in helping him, wants him to become a son to him, gives him a daughter in order to bring Moshe into his home. Why would Moshe want to be part of Yitro's home? So easily one could argue, when you got nowhere to go, you'll pick the first person who welcomes you in. But you can argue it much further. The one thing we know about Yitro is he's Kohen Midyan. He's the priest of Midyan. Here is Moshe, who is running away from the house of Paro. He's the prince of Egypt. He finds something in common with someone who has a position of power, with somebody who has a position that was similar to where he was brought up. It's similar to Moshe, and this is a home he wants to live in. Or a second answer, source number 12, Rashi Ibn Ezra point out, possibly, when it says that Yitro was a Kohen Midian, it does not mean a Kohen of Avodah Zarah. It means a Kohen for Hashem. Here is the one person in all of Midian who somehow on his own came to recognize God. And Moshe realizes this and says, this is the guy I want to live with. The one other person who has the same values as me. The one other person who recognizes God the way I do. This is where I want to live. Further proof that this was a business arrangement, source 13. The pasuk I brought you before to prove the other way. Vayahav Yaakov et Rachel, Yaakov loves Rachel. Guess what pasuk we never see about Moshe and Zipporah? Vayahav Moshe et Zipporah. It's not that it's not in your source sheet because I forgot to put it on. It's not in your source sheet because the pasuk doesn't exist. It never ever says that Moshe loves Zipporah. And therefore, in contrast, one could argue, because Yaakov and Rachel is a love story, Moshe and Zipporah is a business arrangement. One more proof, source 14. When Moshe wants to leave, because his arrangement is with the father, not with Zipporah, who does he have to ask permission from in order to go back to Mitzrayim and to leave Midian? Source 14, Vayilech Moshe Vayashav al Yeter Chotno, and asks him, please give me permission, Yitro, to leave. As opposed to the next pasuk I gave you, Yaakov, when he wants to leave Lavan, he asks permission from his wives. Because Yaakov's arrangement was with his wives, Moshe's arrangement was with Yitro and not with Zipporah. He does not have to ask her for permission. Two completely different storylines, all a possibility when we leave the beginning story of Moshe and Zipporah and the way their marriage took place. Is it a love story between Moshe and Zipporah who meet at a well? Or is it a business arrangement between Yitro and Moshe and Zipporah just is part of the deal, but not really in love with Moshe? Let's go to our next story, which comes a few psukim later, source 15. Moshe decides it's time. He's got to go down to Mitzrayim. He sees a burning bush. God convinces him after a long time, time to go down. This is one of the biggest mysteries in Torah. There are many of them. But the pasuk tells us as follows, source 15. Vayikach Moshe ishto vet banav, he takes his wife and his sons, and he puts them on a donkey, vayashav arza Mitzrayim, and they're going to Mitzrayim. And then a few prakim later in Shmos Yud Chet, Vayikach Yitro Chotein Moshe at Zipporah Eshe Moshe Achar Shilucheha. Yitro brings Zipporah and the sons back to Moshe because Moshe sent them away. So sounds to me he brings them to Mitzrayim. When did he send her away? When did this happen that Moshe and Zipporah split and Zipporah's back in Midian with her dad and her dad has to bring her back to Mitzrayim? When did that occur? Three possibilities. Possibility number one is it happens right here in Shmo Perek Dalet. Look back at my pasuk again in source 15. Moshe takes his wife and his son, puts them on a donkey. Vayashav, it's in singular. He goes to Mitzrayim. He's standing there with his stick all by himself. Because where did he send them? Back to Yitro. He says, I don't want you living in our house by yourself. Go back to your father's home, and I'm going to go alone to Mitzrayim. Possibility number one. Why would he do that? Either because he thinks the mission is very dangerous, he wants to protect his wife. How could you come down to Mitzrayim? The Jews are enslaved. I'm going to go approach a king, say, let my people go. He's going to kill you. I'll keep you here because I love you. Or possibly number two, Moshe realizes from the start the contradiction of coming to say, I am the leader of the Jewish people, and come meet my wife from Midian and my children from Midian. Leaves them behind, possibly with no intention to ever reunite with them. First possibility, left them from the start. Second possibility, starts taking them down, and somewhere along that route, he sends them back, and the pasuk doesn't necessarily tell us. Why would he do that? The travel was too long. The travel was too hard. She gave birth along the route. One of them almost dies on the route. He loves them, and he sees this is too hard, and he sends them home. Or again, possibly along the route, there's an epiphany. Aaron looks at him and says, who are you bringing down with you? Or someone almost dies and therefore he realizes God's pretty mad that I'm bringing my family with me. Or he just realizes I can't face the Jewish people with my wife and children from a different nation. Possibility number three. He gets all the way down to Mitzrayim. He's there for a while with his family. And then at some point, he sends them all the way back to Midian. Again, possibly to protect them. This is taking longer than I thought. We got 10 plagues going on. Go back to Midian. Who knows how long this will take? Or possibility two, when he's facing the Jews, he realizes the contradiction. Two answers, really, to our question here, which is, did Moshe send them away at some point to protect them because he loves them? And therefore, his full intention is to bring them back and join them again at the end? Or is his intention to say, I can't be married to you and rule the Jewish people. I just can't do it. Go home. And I'm not really going to send for you again. Now, if we think about it, going back to when they met, this actually leads us to realize this story had to have happened in one of two ways. You see, if Moshe sent them away and said, you know what, this is a contradiction. I can't be married to you. Then the fuller picture has to be as follows. When Moshe first met up with Zipporah, he says to them, I'm an Ish Mitzri. I'm an Egyptian, and he never tells them he's Jewish. Why would he do that? Well, if you say to somebody, I'm running away from Paro, and Paro wants to kill me, they're not going to really invite you in. They're going to say, well, if Paro finds out you're in my house, he's going to kill us too. So the entire time, Moshe's not telling them who he is. And therefore, their entire marriage in some ways is based on a lie. She thinks he's going to be a Midian man. She thinks they're going to be raised with her traditions. And then all of a sudden, the burning bush happens and everything changes. You could understand then why he might want to leave them behind. The second possibility, which is found in the Chazal that I gave you in source 17, is that no, from the start, he told her who he was. From the start, she said, I want to be Jewish too. And as it says in source 17, Vatelach Sipora Bedarche Beit Yisrael, Velo Chasra Davar Misadeke Sarah Rivka Rachva Leah, she converts and she fully, fully immerses herself in the traditions of the Jewish people to be like our Imahot, Sarah Rivka Rachel and Leah. Two different possibilities. One is she didn't know, and one is she totally knew the entire time. I gave you in source 18. It's a tradition we have in Chazal very often to say when you have someone who we deem as a tzaddik in the Torah, like Moshe, that if they marry somebody from a different nation, clearly the assumption is they converted. If you look at source 18, first source is that Shimshon's girlfriend's wife must have converted. Machlon and Kilion converted. Shlomo's wife's converted. Yosef, when he marries Asnat, must have converted. Even to the extent Chazkuni says, Bat Paro must have converted, according to the traditions of Chazal. She's the new mother of Moshe. And therefore, of course, we have this assumption, source 19 again, Yesh Nashim Chasidut Giarot, Hagar, Asnat, Zipporah, and on, Zipporah not only converted, but she was a very righteous woman. Two different total pictures. One is from the start, he was honest, she converts. Then, of course, the reason he sends her away is to protect her. He loves her, and he will want to reunite with her. Second picture, never told her the truth. And therefore, when he has to go back to his original life of being Jewish and save the Jewish people, he actually tries to leave her behind. Well, let's see which version makes more sense when they meet up again in the reunion between Moshe and Zipporah, source number 20. So now Moshe has gone through all of the plagues. Moshe has taken us out of Egypt. The water has split. We're about to get to Matan Torah, but we're not there yet. And all of a sudden, source 20, Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midian Chose Moshe. Yitro hears, oh my gosh, all these amazing things that have occurred. Pasuk Bet, I read to you already. He takes Zipporah and their sons to reunite with Moshe. Pasuk Hey, Vayavo Yitro Chote Moshe Banavish. Well, Moshe, here's the big reunion. Yitro brings Zipporah, the sons, to meet up with Moshe. Now, let me ask you a question. I understand that one could argue Moshe always meant to reunite with Zipporah, and location-wise, we're just not yet by Midian. So he was going to call them when we got there. But if I just want to ask the question, we're about to have Matan Torah, where God is coming down on Har Sinai, going to reveal himself, at least at this point, we assume, to everyone and talk to everyone. Would you not want your wife and children there? Would you not have sent somebody to go pick them up and bring them? Would you really wait and hope that Yitro would hear? and come join, it doesn't seem to make any sense. And if you look at the wording, it's all about Yitro. Vayikach Yitro, Vayavo Yitro. It's all about Yitro. Yitro takes them, Yitro comes. He is totally active. Continuing along in the psukim, my question gets even stronger. Source number 20, as you continue reading these psukim, you'll see there's an emphasis on the words Chotein Moshe. It refers to Yitro as the father-in-law of Moshe 13 times in the chapter. He is the emphasis of our chapter. But here it gets weird. Pasuk Zion. Vayetze Moshe. Here we go. Moshe comes out. His wife is here. Likras Chotno. Towards his father-in-law. Vayishtachavu, vayishak lo. He bows down and kisses his father-in-law. Vayishalu, eishal re'eyu l'shalom. How you doing, Yitro? How you doing, Moshe? Okay. Vayavo olan, the two of them go inside. What is missing? His wife. It keeps going. Vayisaper Moshe lechotno, it's called Asher Asa Hashem lepal Mitzrayim. Moshe tells Yitro the whole story. This is what happens. I got this great story. Skips a pasuk yitet. I'm sorry, pasuk yitbev. Vayikach Yitro chotei Moshe. Ola uzvachim lelokim. Vayivo Aaron v'chol yizeknei Yisrael. We're having a party. Inviting my brother. Come meet my brother. Come invite the elders. All Yitro. See, Pora is just missing. She's not even here. His sons aren't even here. Source 20 gets even worse. The next morning they wake up. It is take father-in-law to work day. Vayeshev Moshe lishbona ta'am. Yitro standing there watching. Yitro gives him advice. Probably not a good thing for father-in-laws to do. Source 20 again. Pasuk Chavdalit. Vayishma Moshe lekol chotno vayas kol asher amar. Sure, Yitro, whatever you say, I do. The reunion of Moshe and his family so clearly emphasizes the extreme love, trust, and respect that Moshe has with Yitro. His family and his wife is missing. It seems pretty clear here that the relationship that Moshe has to this family is centered around his father-in-law and is all about his father-in-law. He has such tremendous respect, says Ibn Ezra, source 21. The pasuk tells us, Vayishlach Moshe et chotno, when Yitro is going home, because he walks with him. He walks with him part of the way because he doesn't want to let him go. Rashi even asked, why did he go at all? He goes to fulfill the mission of Moshe. He's going home, L'gayer b'nei b'it mishpachto, to convert other people to come back and join Moshe. And I gave you in source 21 two psukim where we see other descendants of Yitro who happen to be Jewish later on and are living amongst us, all because Yitro brings them back. So if I want to say that Moshe does not have a good relationship with his wife, it is screaming from the psukim. If I want to say that Moshe really possibly never intended to reunite with his wife, it is screaming out of these psukim. So what do I do if I want to say he loved his wife? What do I do if I want to say, no, that's not what's happening here? He wanted his wife to come back. He really intended that the whole time. And really the only answer I could give you, which I think is such a strong one, is that it's private. What did you want the pasuk to say? And Moshe saw his wife, and he kissed her, and he hugged her. And they had a private moment. And they talked. What did you want the pasuk to say? Psukim don't talk like that. It's private. It's between husband and wife. And if you think about it, why do we emphasize the discussion of Yitro and talk to Yitro and tell him everything and take Yitro to work? Because of the pasuk I just read you, Yitro went home. Who stays now? Tzipora. So I don't have to tell Tzipora in 5 minutes everything that happened to me, because I have a lifetime to tell Tzipora what happened to me. I don't have to introduce her the next day to every single person, because I can have each individual person over for dinner to meet her privately, and she can have a real relationship with them. I don't have to do it all in 5 minutes. That's what I have to do with Yitro, because Yitro's leaving. But Tzipora and my children are staying. It's private. It's something I can do over a long period of time. And therefore, the relationship of Moshe and Tzipora possibly is hidden within these psukim. I want to add on another point here. Source 22, we have a very strange pasuk in Bamidbar, where there's a guy by the name of Chovav ben Reuel from Midian, who is said to be the father-in-law of Moshe. Well, who is the father-in-law of Moshe? Chovav or Reuel? Is it the father of this guy? That's the father-in-law? Or is it the guy himself? Well, we just said Yitro left, so who is this guy? And the psukim are so confusing because we have psukim that seem to imply Yitro's name is Reuel, which I gave you in source 23, and we have psukim that seem to imply that Yitro's name is Chovav, which I gave you in source 24. So who is this guy? Is he Yitro, or is he the son of Yitro? The Mefarshim debate this, source 25, Rashi and the Ramban, this is Yitro, Reuel is the grandfather, and Chovav is Yitro. This is a story of Moshe and Yitro once again. Ibn Ezra and others say absolutely not. Chovav is the son. Yitro is Reuel, and this is the story about the son of Yitro, which would make him the brother of Zipporah. I think this helps us here, because if again the entire story in version number one is about Moshe and Yitro, and really it's not about his wife at all, then here's another story in Bamidbar, where we have a story of Moshe begging Yitro, don't leave, please stay, because my relationship with you is so strong. But if the story in Bamidbar is Moshe and the brother of Zipporah, that opens up my story. Why do I care to have my brother-in-law stay? Because I love my wife, and I want her family to stay. It's not just about me and the father-in-law. It's about me and my wife and everybody in her family. So fine, my father-in-law had to go back for whatever reason, but now I want my brother-in-law to stay because I associate with this family, because I love my wife, and therefore I want all of her family members to be around. Two totally different versions of the story of the relationship of Moshe and Zipporah from now through the end of the story. Let's go on to two more stories of Moshe and Zipporah before I run out of time to fill in all the blanks. This next story of Moshe and Zipporah is source 27. It's one of the weirdest stories in Torah, and it's a shir on its own, which is Miriam speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe's wife. And it says, Aladot Isha Kushita Sher Lakach, Isha Kushit Lakach, he took this woman from the land of Kush, it's a woman that he marries. Now, obviously, all the Mefarshim have nothing to do with Zipporah, I'm not going to focus on, but certainly as I gave you to represent source 28, the Rashbam writes, this is a woman that he married in Kush way before he met Zipporah. Okay, he had another wife that they find out about. Nothing to do with a reflection of Moshe and Zipporah's marriage. But if this is a woman he's taking now, then that's a pure reflection on his marriage. Moshe is marrying another woman now within the story? Why? Is there an issue in his marriage with Zipporah that he feels a need to marry somebody else? However, most of the Mefarshim assume she's speaking about Zipporah, that in some way this description is a description of Zipporah. And it either is the fact that he married her at all, which makes it complicated, why are they saying it here? The fact that he ever married Zipporah, a woman who was from outside of the Jewish people, how dare he ever marry her? Or is it a discussion of the fact, as Chazal tells us in source 29, that it's not that he married her, it's that he separated from her. Very famous Gemara in Yevamos, Shlosha Devarim Asa Moshe Midato, three things Moshe did on his own, and God ended up agreeing. One of them is Perish Menaisha, he leaves his wife. Why? Because he realizes in his new position, he's got to talk to God all the time, and therefore he always has to be ready, he always has to be in a certain mindset. He can't do that if he has a wife, he separates from his wife. But for me, what's so interesting is the perspective of the Mefarshim in explaining this. Do they see in Moshe and Zipporah a good marriage, or do they see a negative one? If you look at Rashi, which I gave you in source 30, Rashi seems to take a more positive perspective. Miriam over here, Zipporah, saying, oh, I'm sad that I'm not married to Moshe. It's sad that the job got in the way. Oi, oi. And Miriam is saying, shame, it's sad, they had a good marriage. Why did he feel he had to leave her? It's a very beautiful Rashi which makes the marriage of Moshe and Zipporah sound in a positive light. But if you look at source 31 and 32, these Mefarshim go in a much more negative way. Rabbeinu Bachaye says it's because Miriam was suspicious that Moshe left Zipporah because she was ugly. And therefore, clearly, if anyone would have such a suspicion, she saw negativity in that marriage. She saw negativity in that relationship, that she assumed Moshe left Zipporah not for godly reasons, but because of her physical beauty, because of something that was going on in their relationship that he would leave her for. The Panim Yafot the same, something negative about her, possibly the fact that she wasn't Jewish when he married her, her children therefore not really being Jewish either, and therefore that being the reason that they can't become leaders. Moshe wanted to marry someone else, possibly have other children that could become leaders of Am Yisrael. Negative reasons, negative outlooks to the marriage of Moshe and Zipporah. Very different ways of understanding their marriage. And again, so much more to say on that discussion, but that's Miriam's perspective of what she sees about Moshe and Zipporah. In my final minutes, I want to discuss source 33, which is the one and only Zipporah story that we have in all of Torah. If you think about every story I've said so far, she is passive, right? We don't separate her out when she's going to get water from the well. So all we see is her father gives her over to Moshe to get married. Moshe names the children. She doesn't even do that, even though Rachel names her own children. Leah names her own children. She then is sent back by Moshe back to Midian. She's then brought back by Yitro. Nothing. She has done nothing active for herself. She is spoken about by Miriam. Nothing that she does is active until we finally get to this one and only pasuk. In Shmos Dalet, we are now on our way down to Mitzrayim. Somewhere along the route, somebody starts to die. Most Mefarshim assume it's Moshe, but it could be a child. Somebody starts to die. She picks some sort of knife, some sort of blade, and she gives her child a bris milah. That is the one action of Zipporah. And you have to ask, what am I supposed to learn from this story, the one thing I know about Zipporah? And if you look at all the Mefarshim, they are all heavily dependent on how they view the relationship between Moshe and Zipporah in understanding this mystery. Again, I'm going to focus on the ones that are discussing Moshe and Zipporah's relationship. If you look at source 34, the Rashbam has this beautiful vision. And the vision of the Rashbam is Moshe loved his wife. And since Moshe loved his wife, he was distracted by the fact that he was bringing her down to Mitzrayim. Think about it. The difference between if you go on a trip by yourself versus you go on a trip with your spouse and your children. How many suitcases different you bring, how much slower you go, how many stops you make along the route for bathrooms or sleeping. That is the problem Moshe had, says the Rashbam. Of course he wasn't going to leave behind his wife and his children. He loved them. So he took them along. But now he's stopping in a hotel because the kid is tired. This one's cranky. She needs a break. Says the Rashbam, God got mad. Ki hayam mitzat sel b'halicha tova. He's going too slow. You were just given the mission, save Am Yisrael, and you're stopping in a hotel? Your kidneys a break? Really, Moshe? Leave them behind. Do your mission. But the picture of the Rashbam is he loves his wife. The Akedas Yitzchak, source 35, picks up on this point, and I love his language. He named Niresh Haita Chaviva La Barishuto Yoter Mebachrito. It seems pretty clear, he says, that he loved his wife much more in the beginning of his life than he did at the end when he seems to separate from her easily, says the Akedas Yitzchak. But at least here, he's trying to hold on to her for a bit of the way. But the Abarbanel adds a little bit to it. And the Abarbanel, source 36, such an interesting one, says this is the issue 100%. He brought his wife and his children, and they are distracting him because he loves them. So he's trying to figure out this one's going to sleep here, and this one's going to sleep there, and this is dinner, and this is this. That's what Moshe was doing. And God tried to speak to Moshe. And Moshe's so distracted. So if you all of a sudden start getting spoken to by God, and you're not in the right mindset, you know what almost happens to you? You almost die because you're not ready for that prophecy. Says Abarbanel, God wasn't trying to kill him. God was just trying to talk to him. But he was so distracted by his family that he almost died. I think all of these give a nice perspective to the marriage of Moshe and Zipporah. I think the fact that he cared about them so much and he was putting them in front of his mission tells us something nice, even though it wasn't something he was supposed to do. However, you look at source 37, the Midrash starts to give us a much more negative perspective. The Midrash tells a story that when Moshe married Zipporah, he actually had to make a deal because he was Jewish and she's from Midian and Yitro is the Kohen Midian. And Yitro said, you want to marry my daughter, you have to dedicate your first child for the religion of Midian, for Avodah Zarah. You cannot give that child a bris milah because he is not a Jewish child. And that's what this story is about. This story is about Moshe being punished for a decision that he made in order to marry Zipporah. Zipporah is a negative influence on him. Zipporah is someone who God wants out of his life. If you look at Shaddai, source 38, he fleshes out this idea, which is, he says as follows, Moshe listened to Zipporah to not give his child to bris milah, and therefore hear what was God worried about when I bolded, yaniu et libo v'yakvu. What was he worried about? She's not only a bad influence on him about his first child, but she's going to stop him from doing his mission. She's actually not going to let him go to Paro and say, let my people go. She's going to say, how could you do that? You might die. What's going to be with the family? She's going to prevent his mission. And therefore, because of that, says Shaddai, God had to stop him. You can't bring her down. She's a negative influence on you. She needs to be removed from your life. This is a woman who must be kept behind. That is the vision of Shaddai through this idea found in the Midrash. But what I love about Rav Hirsch is Rav Hirsch can take something negative and he can turn everything positive in such a beautiful way. And the Rav Hirsch says, you know what, I like this idea, but let me not make Zipporah sound so bad. Rav Hirsch in Source 39, and because he has language that I just can't repeat because his language is so much more beautiful, I will read it to you. Zipporah sees Moshe in danger of life. Sees him brought to the edge of the grave by God on the very road on which God had sent him. She recognizes that there can be only one cause for this. Quickly, catches the child up and circumcises him, places the severed foreskin at the feet of her husband, struggling in the throes of death, and says, I do this because you have become the betrothed of death for my sake, on my account. It is my fault. It was I who kept you back from fulfilling this duty. You did not insist on it out of love for me, and so on my account you became the betrothed of the death penalty. The words of our sages justify us in taking this interpretation of Zipporah's words. There has always been a discussion as to whether this child was the first one, Gershom, or the second, Eliezer. Most opinions incline towards the latter and think that Eliezer had just been born, the milah having had been postponed on account of the journey, the incident then occurring at an inn near the end of the journey, where the first and immediate duty should have been the milah, and the danger to Moshe arose on account of procrastination then. But this inn could not have been so near the end of the journey. It was after this that Aaron met Moshe at Chorev, and that we are told was a three-day journey to Egypt. In the Mechiltas, I'm going to quote the Midrash we just read, Rav Elazar Hamodai actually states that Yitro would only consent to give his daughter to Moshe on the condition that her first son should be allowed to remain dedicated to idolatry, and that this was the reason for Gershom remaining uncircumcised, and that this was why Moshe's life was in danger. If this was really the fact, we could take the word chatan literally. For my sake, you have become a bridegroom, blood guilt. For my sake, when you became a bridegroom, you took upon yourself a capital crime. And here's the twist. But it is not even necessary to go as far as this. We need only to think that Zipporah, who after all was not a daughter of Israel, and at the beginning had possibly not yet completely absorbed all the ideas of Moshe, found it hard to allow her child to be circumcised. In the force of circumstances, Moshe gave in to postponement. But not thus was Moshe to come to Egypt, and not thus Zipporah. Not in Midian, but on the journey, free from all influence of parents and relatives, alone thrown back entirely on herself, Zipporah is to soar to the heights of Jewish womanhood. Like an offering, she lay the arla of her child at the feet of her husband, struggling in the throes of death, and says, I know full well that it was for my sake that you took upon yourself such a grave capital crime. If we put all these stories together, I see two completely different stories of Moshe and Zipporah. Story number one is the beautiful, good story that we all want to believe, the happily ever after, the love and the romance. Moshe and Zipporah meet at the well and they fall in love. He marries her because he loves her, because she's a tzaddikah, she's a righteous woman. He tells her his entire story. She converts before she marries him. She therefore gives a bris milah to her child in the story we're just referring to because she believes in the mission of the Jewish people. And of course, that child then would be the youngest, who she, of course, had somehow given birth before she left and then was still able to travel. I question that. Or on the way, but she continued traveling, right? And that is why she showed her connection. Of course, when Moshe left her, it was because he wanted to protect her. Of course, Moshe intended to bring her back in and to bring her back and reunite with her, but just Yitro brought her before Moshe was ready. And the absence of Zipporah in the Psukim and their relationship from the beginning to the end is because of the privacy of their relationship. If I want to see the negative story, I flip everything I just said. She's not a great person. Moshe really liked Yitro. And when Moshe liked Yitro, he wanted to marry into that home, so he married one of the daughters. We don't even hear her name until that point because she's no different than the rest. He marries her. She may not even know his story. She may not even know he's Jewish. She thinks that now he's going to be a Midian man, and then at some point their world changes because God speaks to Moshe and Moshe changes his plan. He tries to leave her behind, but yet even though he leaves her behind, she shows back up into his life. He seems to ignore her quite a bit. And at some point, she gives that child a bris milah, either because she's forced to, because her husband is about to die. Two very different stories. But in these two different stories, then I ask you, what's the lesson? What's the lesson for us in these different stories? What am I supposed to take away from these different versions of the story of Moshe and Zipporah? And I guess my question is, can I learn about a happy marriage from Moshe and Zipporah? And my answer number one is a very simple answer, which is no, I can't. They didn't have one. But what am I supposed to gain from that? Maybe I'm supposed to gain that, you know what? Not everybody can have everything. Then Moshe didn't have a good marriage. And Moshe's sons who don't get leadership positions, maybe because they truly don't deserve it, because Moshe's focus in life was about saving the Jewish people. Moshe's focus in life was not his family. But we can learn from that, that relationships are hard. And even Moshe struggled too. And therefore, if it's okay for us to struggle, because Moshe struggled. But what do I see is the issue behind Moshe's relationship is that he did not communicate. Moshe may not have communicated for good reasons because he was scared to tell them the truth. Maybe they wouldn't have accepted him in. Maybe he never could have married her. He would have been in trouble. They would have handed him over to Paro. Maybe that's the answer. But Moshe doesn't communicate, and therefore throughout their marriage, they're on different pages. They're in different places. He's living this Jewish life, and she may not be in the same place as him. Moshe and Zipporah's marriage may have been bad from beginning to end because they started in different places and they end in different places. It would also explain to us why we hear so little about Zipporah. But then there's a second way to go, which is Moshe and Zipporah had a good marriage. And Moshe and Zipporah had a good marriage for part of the story, the whole story, unclear to us. But what's the message? I think there are 3 points to the message here. The message number one, which I believe in so strongly, is the message that I keep talking about, which is the message of privacy. You see, I don't think the Torah should tell us about the intimate life between Moshe and Zipporah. I don't think the Torah should tell us the intimate life of any husband and wife, because intimate life between husbands and wife is meant to be private. If it becomes public, it actually takes away from the intimate life between the husband and the wife. You know, I find it so interesting in our new society of Facebook and all these different things that we have out there. It really makes me think a minute when I see posts on Facebook, happy anniversary to the love of my life. You are the best person I've ever met. I love you. I love you. You're awesome. And sometimes I think to myself, wouldn't that message have been much more powerful if it was written on a card that was given privately to your spouse instead of publicly written on Facebook for the world to see? Moshe and Zipporah's relationship possibly was just private. And we can gain from that, and we can learn a tremendous lesson from that. And that's possible message number one. Message number two, which I already said in the negative, but now to formulate it in the positive, If motion support's relationship worked, then the entire time from beginning to end, they must have had tremendous communication. You see, if you think about it, Moshe ran away, joined a family. He must have told her who he was and everything about him, and she accepted him. And then one day he comes home, and if you think about it, it's kind of crazy. God spoke to me in a burning bush, and now I got to go somewhere and save a nation. You want to come? Most wives would say, did you drink today? And they would not join. But if Zipporah even went a little bit on that journey, we see the trust and the faith she had in her husband. We see how she would put herself out on the limb when her husband is almost dying to give a bris milah to her child. And we see how she maybe patiently waits for him and rejoins him even before he calls because she wants to reunite with her husband. There is a communication that must have happened, the two of them trusting in each other and the two of them allowing each other to be who they need to be, but yet being there for their spouse when needed. But third, I think, is the most powerful message, and with this I will end on time, is that Moshe had to sacrifice a lot. And it is very possible in this storyline that Moshe and Zipporah had a beautiful relationship, and in the eyes of Chazal, the relationship was beautiful, but he had to sacrifice it. He had to leave his wife. He had to go and fully commit himself to speaking with God and a relationship with God, and that meant leaving behind his wife and his kids twice. Once when he's going down to Mitzrayim, and then the second time, as implied in the Gemara, when he leaves his wife in the sense of being married to her so that he can speak to God whenever he needs. And the question of prioritizing and the question of when is it that you sacrifice for something that is incredibly important is a message we learn from Moshe. You see, I am not coming here to say sacrifice your relationship with your spouse. That's not what I'm saying. Though I am saying that if a burning bush happens on your path on the way home and God speaks to you and says to do that, then you should. But what we learn from Moshe is that you always have to prioritize what is most important in your life, what is secondary in your life, and you never sacrifice on that priority of what comes first. In Moshe's story, God came first. Saving the Jewish people came first. And sadly, that meant sacrificing his family life. But I think for majority of us in the room, it actually goes the other way. For most of us in the room, if we sat down and we thought of the priority of our lives, God is certainly up there, religion is up there, Jewish people up there, but our family is up there too. And I think that Moshe is trying to tell us, or the message coming out of here is, yes, if you're like Moshe, your prioritizing might be different. But the message of Moshe is to prioritize. To figure out what is most important in life and what are you willing to sacrifice on. And I think for us, as we walk away from this story and this confusion, I have no idea if Moshe had a good relationship with his wife or a bad one. And I hope that you didn't come here for me to tell you which one it was, because I don't know. But I don't think that almost any story in Torah we know a lot. We end up knowing so many different reasons for so many different things, and the challenge is to see the different possibilities that are out there. But what I do think we all walk away with are the messages that come out of this story. The message of prioritizing, the message of privacy, the message of communication, and from those messages of Moshe, we certainly can all have more successful, happy, beautiful marriages. Thank you very much.